Want to start signing Robert or somebody?
Signing?
Yeah. There's a lot. These are the ones.
What's the old one?
Oh, it's a 6K. Huh? Oh, this is, oh, did I just cross it out and put your name? I was trying to get taxes done, that's the only one I got done. And then I signed up for it. Huh?
Same problem with that.
Have to get the other stuff done.
Can you put a chat thing on that one?
Chat? I don't know. I have chat here.
Yeah, click on it. Yep, and then if people want to chat, they can start typing. And then make sure our mic is on. Keep the mic on.
Can we test it? Testing, one, two. Check, check.
And left.
And press it on.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
You check it for.
Huh?
Check. Can you hear it? We was working.
Is the speaker's on?
Well,
is
let me turn. I turned up the volume there. I
just check, check, check. Hello, hello, hello.
How do you know?
Because I went into settings.
I mean, that's
the speaker. Okay, let me. You cannot minimize when you're recording.
Oh, you can.
You know how to get to the microphone?
Well, it says I have to get out of Zoom to get in to the mic and check the settings. So Donna,
can you minimize?
No, it says you're not allowed to do that.
So you're wanting me to get out of Zoom?
Yeah.
Zoom out.
Well, no, click go over here. Click that. Click the yellow arrow and see if you can make it. Well, looks right.
Well, have you been to Southern California lately?
I went on Easter Sunday. I worked for 2 days, turned around, and drove home.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, I did physical work. I went and repaired a roof on 11,000 square foot natural home. So then I went to repair leaky metal planters and realized that I had a big job. It's significant. 3 times as much work as I thought. I gave them a bid a couple of years ago. And I thought it was the same planet, but they're different planets. I told Lake it's okay. I don't even afford it, but I'll eat it. I gave you a bid. I'll do it for that. I made a lot of money because I included an inspection of the floor of the lawn.
Now, did you sell it out?
No. Because it's part of our barter job, so I don't sub out barter jobs.
Okay, it says
barter. I inspected the floor at the Vons supermarket in Mammoth.
Someone's coming.
Mm-hmm. And I paid
for my gas. Oh, Tanya.
Hi, everyone.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, check, can you hear on the
check,
speaker?
No, check the mic now.
Check.
Nothing. Can you hear that?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear Robert? No, she
can't. I can't hear that.
You can't hear that?
I can't hear that.
I can hear you, Donna, but I couldn't hear what Robert was saying.
No. That means the lights aren't on.
The red light's on.
Yeah, but they're not. You might have to access that on the computer.
I did.
See, Cheryl and I tested this on Saturday.
It worked.
Zoom.
Oh, you could test on Zoom.
Yeah, now there should be a setting on Zoom. You might have to connect this computer to the speaker, the microphone to Zoom.
Okay, can you do that? Yeah. I'm not sure where that is. It must be this one right here, but I don't know how to.
It's green.
It's green, but it's not.
All right, try one of those speakers now.
Chuck? Chuck? Right.
I can hear.
Yay!
What about the other one?
Oh,
hello?
Yep, I can hear that.
Try it now, softly.
Hello.
You get that?
Okay.
Because it says there's two blue snowballs.
I do. I have one and two.
Oh, really? How funny.
And so that if public is talking, they can talk to one.
And can you hear?
No, it's not coming out of the speaker, but it did on Saturday when we tested it.
Can you hear that?
Barely.
I'm just going to start putting C in the corner because this is a little tiny space.
Okay, Cheryl, speaking of that microphone.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I heard something.
That
no, I'm picking it up. Now I'm picking it up.
I can even hear Martin.
I can hear.
It's supposed to pick up in a range. A sound. It's supposed to pick up.
There you go.
I think it's working.
It's
that's the way.
I am being taped.
Alright, there you go.
Nice. Alright. You ready to go on the episode?
Oh, I just had a little practice with this stuff a few weeks ago. The church, so
I'm adding to your.
Oh, you're whoa, what happened? I thought I just had one to sign. Now I got like a plethora.
Well, is anyone else coming up?
I just have two.
You need one Well, we will call the meeting to order at 5:32. And I have.
Did you say 4?
4 of 2. Sorry, 4 of 2. Thank you. And we have Cheryl McCormick, Robert Larity, Tony Port, and Martin Balding and Donna Round present. Linda Atherway is absent, and there are no public present at the moment. Before we start, I'm going to say this just anyway, is that this is not the public hearing, so we need to remember it's not what this is for. I would like to start doing a flag salute if no one has an objection. To that.
To do what?
A flag salute at the beginning.
A flag salute?
Yes. Beginning of the meeting. You know, a pledge to the flag.
Oh,
Okay, let's down to the touch. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everyone else does it. We will start with the consent calendar. And we have a lot of minutes. So if everyone can look over the agenda, the minutes, and the payment of bills for February and March. And we also have our special emergency meeting minutes in there, I believe, too.
Donna, do you have a packet of that for me?
Yeah.
Do you have a what?
I don't have those.
Oh.
Are these in here?
No, right now.
Oh, okay.
We don't have public here. I'm just going to put this one by me. You
got my own private mic now.
Are there any questions or comments about the agenda or minutes?
I don't think you got the March bill. I didn't get a finish till today.
Okay.
We're trying to make it.
Right. No treasury report.
Linda's not here.
No, we'll go back in.
So there's no treasury report because Linda's absent. So the consent calendar would be the approval of the April agenda, February, March minutes, and payment of bills for March. We'll have a motion.
I'll motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Consent calendar is approved. I think everyone got a copy of the draft for LAFCO. John, when I spoke to him, he said he would tell them that we have our meetings at this time. So he is going to look for a better time for us to be there. I also emailed him a couple of comments that I talked to Martin about. I will let you guys know as soon as I can. On page 32 of the LAFCO for stones, it says that our response time from the time the first engine leaves the station to the farthest area of the district service area is approximately 4 minutes. And then it says if the station were manned, our response time would be 5 to 6 minutes, would be cut by 5 to 6 minutes. And as I told Donna, we must be angels because we know the call before it happens then. So I asked him to change that.
That must have been a typo.
Yeah, it should be probably about 10 minutes for our
response. Is this on the president time. Report?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
For my chairman. Okay. Chairman. And then he talked about doing an agreement with Spalding. I wrote up something from looking at a couple other ones to make it more official. And I will send those, well, I'll give Robert one.
Right.
I'll send one to you, Tanya.
Okay.
Now, this is where I have a question about this. So
but this is just a draft.
Yeah, I'm looking at this draft, okay? This has no beginning or end date.
No, and that's what needs to be put in here because we need a beginning and end date.
Right.
And also,
in my reviewing things, I can't probably find it here. I could find it here, but I take time. But this is just my review of some of the minutes and the resolutions from the history of the district, and there's already agreements in place mm-hmm. that have no dates. So
yeah, we need to
technically they're still in effect. So we might want to look at those first. And that's something I put a note here that we should probably go through our files and find out whatever agreements we have, find out which ones are still binding and which ones aren't binding. And
mm-hmm.
and then we can just do right. an update at one, and then do you want to put a stipulation in here? This supersedes all previous agreements.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I wanted to read this over so Tanya could see. I was trying to make this a little bit not as general. It says when Spalding and Stones Vanguard are paged for medical, both are expected to respond if personnel is available, since both fire departments are voluntary. Currently, Spalding has more medical trained volunteers. If Spalding responds to a medical call at Stones Vanguard or Bucks Bay with no assistance from Stones Vanguard, then the Stones Vanguard Community Service District will pay $50 per medical call. If Spalding responds to a medical call at Stones Vanguard or Bucks Bay with assistance from Stones, they will pay $35 per medical call. And I wanted to know if we should have a clause in there. If Stones responds to a medical call at Spalding and Spalding's not able to respond, because technically that would be make it legal, because you never know. I mean, I doubt it would happen recently, but should we receive a payment. And then the interagency fire will provide biannual statements of the medical calls to both fire departments.
So we're discussing this under new business then?
No, we're going to put this on the agenda. I just want to give this out so everyone can look it over, come up with suggestions, and then the next board meeting, we'll have that on the agenda. So we can put that on the next agenda. So I wanted everyone to get a copy of that, because that was part of what John said we needed to look at. I also added in that we have received grants because they have that we should explore the possibility of any grants. And I told him that we've already received some grants the last 2 years and what they were for.
His report should be corrected to read that
yes.
the district actively seeks grants on a regular basis.
Right. And since this is still a draft, we can
right.
add more wording from what they come up with at the meeting.
It should read that we actively seek grants on a regular basis and have received grants.
And, there was one more.
And recently received.
And grants. The other thing that really needs to be addressed is that he said, I'm sure that you guys are not, a high income area. You have, let me find the right page here.
Well, with that wording for the.
Disadvantaged.
Yes, that's it.
Household. So I told him that we were disadvantaged for our group of people, and I gave him some of those statistics. I didn't give him all of them because I couldn't find your grant where you had the whole thing written up. But that needed to be changed also, because he had that we were not.
Well, I'm going back to these payments here. Well, what's that based on?
That is based on the national standard for fire that I found, mutual aid agreements.
Because
now, Jim Moore in Susanville at the meeting that they had last year, the interagency fire meeting, he said it was about $11 a call. That's what he said. So that's what it.
Well,
and John said that what we paid was pretty high to them. That's what he told me.
Yeah, what I think part of what I'm looking at, there's got to be a national standard. And
yeah.
If those fees are a national standard, I think it's similar to what I have to deal with as a contractor when I'm estimating things, depending on where I'm giving the estimate at, what area, we adjust that estimate. If you're in this zip code, we raise mm-hmm. it up. If you're in this zip code, we drop it down. In a similar fashion, I think we need to analyze like what John is saying
mm-hmm.
over here, it's 11, but is that to go 5 miles or is that to go 50 miles?
He says it's per whatever call they have. That's how they budget it out.
Yeah, because so you understand that, what I'm saying.
Yeah, because Jim says sometimes we respond to calls in Janesville from Susanville, and sometimes we go different places.
Well, Janesville's a lot farther. than Spalding. So that's right. That's why I'm saying I'm going to do an analysis.
So he gave an average of what he said. He was figuring it out there, and then he said,
right.
And he was talking to the fire chief from Herlong, and he said that.
Yeah, Mark, do you have any knowledge?
I see these figures as having nothing to do whatsoever with actual cost.
Well, that's part of the problem.
So it looks like, I mean, if we were to send them a check for $50 or $35, that's a total insult.
Why?
But so I think.
Why is it an insult?
Because it doesn't have any application as the number of hours they put in and the cost of the engine that they're driving, which may be a $150,000 engine.
But we're not paying for the engine.
I know that, but it appears that way.
So you want it worded differently.
This is the national, and what we've done in the past, we've made donations to them.
Well, John says we need to do something like that because they keep complaining. Well, I should say Chris Gallagher keeps complaining.
So I really like to see enough verbiage in here to indicate that this is a national average or, you know,
that's a very good point. But then the other point, all of this is the key word is average. So there's a low and then there's a high.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to find out where this national average is coming from, what association or agency or whatnot, and then we need to see their data. What is the higher and what is the lower?
Well, they know when they're responding, for example, with an ambulance, that they're really performing $1,000 worth of service. And in fact, it's that value to us too, because they're trained and we're not. And they have the equipment and we don't.
Well, they've never responded that I'm aware of with an ambulance. It's always with a fire truck and medical personnel.
Well, sometimes they'll show up with three vehicles.
But that's their business, right?
They're trying to help the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well,
here's the thing is that.
And how many responses have we made to them?
Well, Martin, you know what? A long time ago, Spalding didn't have people that responded, and we were the ones that were always going. So we can always play that game too. We're not, but we can always do that also.
So what I think we need to find out where these numbers come from and analyze the data that they draw these numbers from, because that way we can make adjustments that are fair to everyone. I mean, if we analyze the data and it comes out lower, it should be lower. Analyze the data and it comes out higher, it should be higher, and that's it. And it's what we're trying to do is just take the burden off of us and put it where it belongs on the persons that are actually making the determination of the cost. And if that's some federal agency or something in Washington or DC or someplace down in Sacramento, and we can't argue that's just what the standard is. I mean, we're not we're not here to dicker about cost, because we can criticize the cost or the response.
And I got it from the national organization in Washington, D.C.
Well, good. See, that's what I'm talking about.
And they said $35.
And they're supposed
to put it up to $50 for.
Yeah, and that's a third party. And that's what we need to resolve the issues between the two districts and mutual aid is utilize a third party, neutral party.
Well, in reality, if we send them a check for $50, they will say to themselves, I believe, we're not going to respond. You know, that's an insult.
Well, that's what the agreement's for.
So that's why we need to make
it. Well, and again, that's why I want to see what agreements are already in place.
See, you don't make a monthly contribution.
We don't. And there's never been an agreement to do a contribution that I found.
See, and if there's no agreement to make a contribution and we're making a contribution, then they shouldn't be insulted. That's a personal thing. That's not a professional thing. Or it's just not professional. If there's an agreement in place that doesn't say that we're going to pay you for responding and we give you a check anyways, and you're insulted, well, you signed an agreement, whether it's 5 years old or 10 years old or 50 years old, you signed an agreement that didn't ask for any money, but we're giving you money anyways. So I consider that an insult. When you don't honor a document that you signed, that's why I know that the document's there, because in my notes here, I found two places where there are agreements, one with Spalding, one with CAL FIRE, And we need to find all those documents. They should be in a, they should be in the fire chief's desk as well as in this office. And that's where they should be. So we have them. So we just need to find all of this stuff before we finalize any kind of an agreement.
So this is just to jumpstart what we need to do. And the draft is something to build on.
Yeah, because what I would do is if we're going to do a new agreement that offers money and the previous binding agreement doesn't offer any money, then I want to present to them, look, we have an agreement in place. And I've already talked to the fire chief down there. And I said, you guys go ahead and respond. We'll figure out a way to take care of you, because the most important thing here is taking care of the residents. That's it. It should never come down about money. We'll figure it out. It should be taking care of the persons that have a need. And I'm not going to, and oh, you know, we're going to tell one of our residents, well, Spalding didn't want to come respond. I mean, fine, we'll just call SEMSA to fly in there. They can be here in 9 minutes on the helicopter. You know, and then the somebody's insurance gets charged and all of that. See, and I don't know how they're doing it. If you're responding with medical aid, and an ambulance or whatnot, you're filling out paperwork to charge somebody's insurance company. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of your insurance.
Well, but I've been told that they don't transport to town. They have to come up. Yeah. Their ambulance has to come up.
What Spalding does,
qualified to do that.
Right.
Spalding does is come, they assess. Yes. Mm-hmm. And if the assessment is this person needs to be taken to the hospital, depending on the assessment, they either will call for an ambulance or they will call for an air ambulance. And well,
we called for an ambulance for my dad. We called it home with the nurse at Dr. Dozier's office. And they came over anyways.
Right.
So they didn't have to assess or anything. We already.
Right. I'm just saying that they come and assess. Like I went on a call in Bucks Bay with a lady who had a possible stroke, and what had to happen, we had to fly the SEMSA helicopter in there, and then we had to fly her down to Reno, and she got flown down to Reno. Mm-hmm. And her insurance covered all of that stuff, but Spalding was there to do a medical assessment. CAL FIRE also responded, and they actually took the lead.
Because the person that takes the lead is the one with more medical knowledge.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So I mean, That's kind of fair. I mean, even the cost of gas to come or whatnot, and there's all that stuff. But like I said, we need to get more information. I think we need to find all those previous agreements. You said that you got this from a place in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. National Fire
Association. Yeah, so let's find out what they're basing that on. Because I mean, I did the same thing with water rates. I've got some information to share when we get to that. And that I'll use at the public meeting on May 1st, because that'll give people an idea that, you know what, you're getting a break, extreme break.
So basically, Donna, if we could put this on the agenda for May.
I have part of this on the agenda right now under new business, your Alaska.
Oh, okay.
That's what I...
Because Robert had it on there?
Yeah, he told me to put that on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's what I was confused on. So it's on your agenda. So we're already,
yeah.
We're discussing new business.
So
number three. We'll just,
Madam Chairman.
So, and then continue the discussion.
We're going to continue that later.
Yeah.
The discussion later, because I'm just going to make a motion that we're going to continue the draft.
Okay.
We don't have a Fire Chief Martin. Do you want to do your report?
Yes. The no spill report was turned into the county, into the state for March, and we did not have any spills from our lines or the ponds. Lift stations and ponds, everything's going well there. The ponds are at 2.95 feet. They were a little bit higher than that, but they did not spill over. Ponds one and two did not spill over to pond three this year. And I don't believe it will, because the evaporation is kicking in now. Recorded over an inch and a half of evaporation for the past week. The flows, interesting, the flows were 5,277 gallons per day this year same period last year was 5,293. So we have an almost identical flow from year to year on a daily basis. These flows are critical to watch because we'll certainly discover if we have an uncontrolled source coming in, because that's, the meters are valuable in monitoring that. Hal Farmer is doing quite a bit of the work around here. He's also been doing the readings, although I did the readings the last two weeks. And he's working at another job, which will be finished at the end of this week. So he's going to be spending a little more time with the district. Lake level is sad. It's 5,094 feet, 2 feet lower than it was last year at the same time. And it's dropping rather quickly because of the evaporation. And the rainfall that we've recorded since July 1st last year is only 6 inches. So we're less than half of what would be what in the past has been considered normal. This is an extremely dry year. We're in a, the weeds aren't even going to do well this year. No information from Lahontan, that's okay. One system is being monitored, one of the local systems. The septic system at one of the houses. Actually, they're trying to find the lid so they can call a pumper in and have their tank pumped out. The green waste pile, we've been kind of waiting for some rain. There isn't any in the forecast.
There is.
Yeah. I'm going to call that non-existent.
Between zero and none.
Yeah.
So what we'll be doing, I'm going to be away for a week. But when I get back, what we need to do is make all the calls to interagency and so on, and then do an early morning burn and get this, get the major portion of it off. And at that time, I want a few spotters. So I want some people to be walking around the community in case we have embers coming down because it's too dry. You know, we don't have much in the way of weeds to be burned, but we need to have some spotters out watching things. Okay. The solar system has generated over 105,000 kilowatt hours since we had it installed in 2014. And the commercial value, retail value of that electricity is getting close to $16,000. And we're just about at the point to cover our cost for that system, which looking at it at 10 years, and certainly by 10 years, we're going to have the cost covered. Water storage tanks. We have 2 3,000-gallon water storage tanks for fire, and we drain them during the winter and fill them during for the summer. So the one on Stone Road is full now, and I'm sure the one at Bucks Bay will be full within the next day or two. Fire chief. Yes, we need a fire chief desperately. The ISO, the Insurance Services Office, did send us a request for information on our system. I returned a reply that we haven't made any changes, so because they do have the boundaries of our system and the number of hydrants and that sort of thing. Fire and medical calls, I don't have anything to update because I don't have a pager, and apparently no one else does. The snowplow pickup truck, I took it to Ed... Come on,
Phillips
in Susanville, mechanic, who's worked on it before. And one of the first things we did, or he did, was to check the compression on the engine. It's a diesel engine. If the compression turned out to be low, we would have figured starting to look at maybe another vehicle because it would be around $8,000 to get another engine put in. Compression was good. So I felt that it was worth going ahead and going to spend enough money on it. It needed a new radiator 2 years ago, and he's going to put a new radiator in it, a new oil cooler that the diesel engine has, repairing the turn signal, probably just the turn signal device, high pressure fuel pump. The ignition switch was giving trouble, and he's going to take care of that. The rear brakes on it, needs servicing, and that's about it. That's quite a bit. Anyway, the cost is expected to come in under $5,000, which I think is a good investment because it looks like that engine, that truck could go another 5 or 10 years. And looking at a new one, it could be very expensive, and it would have to include switching the plow over, which is another expense to it. So I think we're going to be satisfied to keep the rig for the future. Stock water pump, we'll be setting that up pretty soon to keep the stock pond full up by the wastewater ponds. And that's all I have to report. If there are any questions, I'd be glad.
So on the truck, mechanic, this is a guy that's worked on it before. Okay.
He's had considerable experience. He's worked on those for years and years.
You were worried about him, whether he was around or not. So he's still around. You were worried last time when you talked about this, whether he was still around or not.
Oh, yes.
He's still around. Okay.
Yeah. And, both of us are still around.
Okay. I was like, okay.
And so, he's still doing the work.
All right.
And he is astute with this stuff.
So my concern is based upon comments that were made months ago by some of the public on getting bids and all that stuff. Is this one of those things? Do you know? Do we know?
At one time, you're interested in going back in the past. At one time, I was given I was allowed $5,000 as far as making decisions on the ground without going to the board. And we've also already been through this bid business. This is far under what we're required.
We're okay.
Oh yeah.
Level wise,
we're
okay.
Way under that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just want nobody to come back and yell at us.
No, it's just.
Because what happened with the tractor.
They may do that. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, because remember we were trying to buy that tractor and everybody was giving us a hard time.
And I remember when we were told that tractor just wasn't big enough to do anything. You look what Kyle has done with it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he's been using it here and up the pond.
Okay, so we're okay. I just want to make sure we're
okay.
We're okay.
That will not keep people from questioning what we're doing. It does put us in good stead.
Okay.
I don't know either what that was.
It was on my end.
Oh, it was on yet? Did we get a phone call done yet?
No.
No, it was some update on my computer.
Okay, secretary's report.
One thing I discovered, and I'll talk about payment of bills for March. Since I don't have this treasurer's report.
Mm-hmm.
For the fire, we've spent $872.96 for the month of March. And scared me for a minute. Under sewer, we had $2,977.58. Nothing big out of that one. The big payments are coming in April that are being signed today. In doing the payment of bills, I discovered, looking backwards, that because I'm in an Excel program and we added Hal, that his salaries were not in the program. So I had to go back and redo all of the first of the month payments that included his salary. And I can update that in the book. Now, this didn't affect the actual expense report that I gave to you annually. It was just on this one little monthly thing that I just discovered. And it hit me when I looked at fire this time. I'm like, that's too low. And then I realized it wasn't picking up house income or salary. So anyway, I fixed all that and I'll update the books. But the expense report, the major one that I do and check with the county, that is correct. So. That's what I found. That was my report.
Anything else?
Always the little things that gave
me. Anything else? Okay. Any board member items?
Okay. This would be a good time to bring this up. I've had some concerns about our future. And basically, they're along the lines of Martin and our general manager. Been around for a couple of years and I've just watched and I don't know how Martin feels, but I kind of feel like people take advantage of you. And they need to be a little bit more considerate about your future. I mean, they think you're going to last forever, Martin. And so I know that you have mentioned over time about wanting to retire and all that stuff. And I mean, are you still in that?
Well, yes, anytime the district's ready.
Well, I because you're ready, right? So I think it hasn't been brought up.
But you better have some plans for the future.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I brought that up. So,
yeah, of course, we've been discussing this for several years.
So I was wondering if we could put something on the agenda for the next meeting and have Martin kind of give us an overview of what he thinks needs to happen in order to move in that direction. What do we need to have in place? What do you feel someone that's going to replace you needs to know? And what kind of credentials they're going
to
have?
One of the first things are, you could have a general manager who would not be able to work on the system. So that's one of the first things. You're going to have to get one with at least a grade one wastewater.
Right. And that's my concern. If Hal's moves into that place.
Yes, yes.
And then how long is Hal going to last?
Yes.
Because I've thought
of... Would he even want to be general manager?
Yeah. Now, because that's where I've had a few discussions about resigning from the board and moving into a position to maybe take over if the board at that time would hire me to take over from Martin, but I couldn't do that until 1 year after I've resigned from the board. So that's why I figured we need to kind of have a discussion and have a plan in place. And that means, you know, we got to get more board members. Now I've talked to my new neighbor who took over at Dora Lee's, and Rick was going to be here today, but had an emergency to go down to Reno. And I'm talking to Zach Parker around the corner to try to get us some more board members, but we need to figure something out because I just think Martin has done so much. He retired from the fire department, but you still show up. And I just think people take advantage.
You know why I'm there? Jack says the only reason he's here, and we were the only two here this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you were. But anyway.
That was baseball practice.
Jack says the only reason he's here is because I'm here. So it's kind of a team deal.
So that's the thing. I just wanted to bring that up because I feel somebody needs to stick up for Martin and all of the stuff he's done over the decades. And people need to realize that, look, when someone steps up to the plate like Martin has over all these decades, you just can't like throw everything on his shoulders.
The truth is I came in with quite a bit of experience too. With a MA in industrial arts to begin with. And then, worked the cogeneration system, did the designs and the 480 volts and the heat exchangers and the water flows and the whole thing. And I've had numerous classes in this work.
Yeah, because...
So anyway, I stepped into something that was... It's been a win-win in a way because I run. So I was running by the ponds and interested in what was going on and so on. And finally gave the district a little proposal and...
Yeah, because my concern is, if Martin, if something happened to you, what would we do? We'd be hosed.
Well, there are a lot of things I didn't know when I started, and then I've learned along the way, and that's what's going to happen with someone else who comes in.
So maybe you can prepare something for the next meeting to kind of tell us what you think we need to do, what we need to shoot for.
Well, I can give you a list of things I've done if you want.
Well, that would be part of it. What you've done and what you think a new general manager needs to know, and we got to come up with a plan. I mean, I just threw it out there because I've talked about going and getting my operator and training thing just so I can learn. For an emergency or something, and I think it would be okay for me to do that as long as I'm not getting paid. Because I already checked with the FPPC when we were talking about it last year, and the FPPC said, no, you cannot work for the district as long as you sit on the board. And we need to kind of try to find some kind of youth movement. And that's why I'm targeting like Zach Parker, who's a young guy, and I had a talk with him and his wife, a couple weeks ago, and they have no plans of ever leaving Eagle Lake.
You need to talk to Hal.
Yeah.
And see, well, you know, what he'd like to look at, because mm-hmm. he would probably be interested in more income so mm-hmm. he can stay here and not drive a propane truck during the winter. I mean, he's taking on something 3 or 4 in the morning and driving hundreds of miles of propane and hauling the anyway.
So I just want, that's why I wanted to throw it out there, because we have to come up with a plan. Because I thought about it as a scenario would be, I resign, I get my wastewater and training, work as a volunteer, and then in a year from now, if the cards fell on the right, I could, you know, Mark could retire, I could be the general manager or whatnot. And I mean, I've been trying to find out what it takes to become a fire chief, because we need somebody.
We need somebody that's willing. I mean, obviously you're willing.
I'm willing, yeah. But I can't wear all these hats.
But you can't. Yeah. Well, you can't do anything as long as you're on the board. And that's the problem. We can't even get people to stay on the board.
I don't think it's on our agenda, but that's something that that's in the, well, we can discuss that under the LAFCO report. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for work? Okay, web manager?
Everything's up to date.
Okay, we have no public. Is there any correspondence? We do have correspondence.
What's the correspondence?
Our yes and no's.
Well, so far, yes, that's right.
Well, we could probably discuss those.
Correspondence from ISO, and I mentioned that. Yeah.
Well, for the public hearing so far, we've gotten actually quite a few responses.
By paper.
They haven't been putting their names, so I've been keeping their envelopes that has the return address on them. Everything that's come in, which I think is over 25 pieces or so, have said yes. Today I got 2 no's. It looks like
our first no's, too.
Our first no's. And it looks like they might have 2 parcels. And so it might be the same. It's the same handwriting, same people.
It's very close to the same.
But they didn't leave their name. They just left an address. So I have to look it up to find out.
Were those commercials?
No.
And they were closed.
Everything's been residential that I've received. I haven't received anything positive or negative.
And we even had one person who gave a rate study.
And
and we got a rate study.
A rate analysis.
Rate analysis.
And then I've spoken with 4 residents that had no intention of turning one in that are okay with the rate increase.
Right. Yes.
And that's considered a yes. So.
So right now it looks like residential will probably pass without any issues. It's just.
Well, the commercial would be, the commercial would move along with the residential because it's a package deal.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to discuss that a little bit later. Okay, let's go on to old business, fire assessment fees.
Now that's something
are we still waiting for the attorney?
Yes, I reached out to Amanda again and no response from her.
Okay, so we need to table that due to attorney.
Let me see if there's anything else in here. I guess I probably should have brought this up under the board member items, but I was asked to call about the David Mattis.
From Fascist.
Yeah, so I did that this morning, and I'm in communicate with David. David and I are going to have a video conference. He's going to give me a little tutorial that I could present to the board advantages they or things they have for us. I also looked into what it takes to do the renting of the fire truck and everything. I thought that was under here somewhere, but it's not. And it probably should be because we're running out of time. We have a May 1st deadline. If we're interested in having our fire truck inspected and used, rented out with Cal Fire, which I think is very advantageous. It's at least $100 an hour or more. So if they take the truck out and use it for 12 hours, it's $1,200 a day. And the cost so far that I've found out that we would have to spend on getting the truck ready and certified is $300. But all of this has to happen before May 1st.
So is this CAL FIRE come out at no charge in inspection?
Yes. The only thing they require is that we go somewhere, and I contacted the company that have our pump certified, and their charge is between $300 and $500 depending on the type of pump on the truck, which I think we have an older pump, so it'd be $300. So we might have to maybe call an emergency meeting to make a decision on that once I get more information, because we don't have an agenda.
No, we don't have an agenda item on that. Okay, so we're going to table that one. Need board signatures on revised approval verbiage of bylaws. So we approved.
I sent that out to everybody, but I didn't hear back. I'm assuming I did that right. I was having problems with printing and updating bylaws that I got from Kay, so I don't have the signature page and all that, but I will work on that.
So we can just table that the next time.
Okay, so we're going to table that one. And then this is it right here. Joining for free, the California State Firefighters Association.
Yeah, I think we just got to do it because I reviewed the email and all of that, and I think it's another source for grants, and it doesn't cost us anything.
Okay.
And we need all the help we can get. And I think, you know, some of these have, I think it was this association that has a volunteer application, which we got sent the application.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might as well join them. I mean, we might get a fire chief out of this. So...
The person that lived down in Susanville.
Right. Well, we never contacted him. I just wanted to find out.
That's Ryan, and I met him, and he has had a lot of fire experience, and he says when he gets a little more settled in here, he may be interested in helping us out.
Okay, cool.
All right, but so how do we join the association? We just
fill out the paperwork.
Who's going to do it?
You have the paperwork, right?
I have the paperwork.
I didn't have it.
Well, I don't know. It's an email or something.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But
So we need a motion to join.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we join the California State Firefighters Association at no cost.
Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that joining the free California State Firefighters Association passes.
And I'll have to look at
the I'm email. Sorry, I just like free stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There is a cost involved.
Huh?
Well, if you do it, we're paying you to fill out the app.
I mean, I'll look up the
Let's go on to new business. The first one, clarify and define current wastewater residential fee structure as identified in board documentation dated since June 2001. And commercial fee structure as identified in Resolution 1303, identify and review all sources of wastewater services other than yearly fees for properties. Agree on the narrative for upcoming May 1st, 2021 public hearing.
You're looking at me. You want me to say something?
You can say something. I need to find my paper.
Okay, well, you know, in 2001, the board approved a rate increase of $1 per month. Wow, that's a big increase that over a short period of time or whatnot. But we have not had an increase since then. Okay, in 2013, the board at that time wrote Resolution 1303, in which they simplified commercial rates at being 75%. Of the residential rates with an exception, and that is RV parks. And there have been several memorandums of understanding that basically have done away with whatever the RV parks are supposed to be charged. And I when we talked about doing this increase, I was under the impression that we just wanted to make it simple as possible. We didn't want to go into all of this rate study. So I'm really pushing that we keep it simple and present this to at the public hearing that we're going to raise everything on the residential side $4 a month, which would reflect, you know, a $20 a month charge to residences, which would increase the commercial base charge from $12 a month to $15 a month. Theirs is only going to go up $3 a month. Yet, if it's an RV park, I really think we don't need to change anything. I mean, I got an email from Cheryl, which I think everybody else did, with an analysis of the amount of money and fees the district has lost by giving breaks to the RV parks, who obviously aren't hurting financially, because these properties that were picked up by the Trap Hagans and the and Dante, I don't Dante's last name here. It's Italian, isn't it? Or something like that. It's a cool name if it's Italian.
So. Well, it's Pirano.
Pirano, there you go. And the thing is these individuals purchase these properties at a steep discount at a public tax auction, and they have since then turned around and put these properties on the market for significant amounts of money, in which they're going to benefit financially significantly. And in reviewing even the Trap Hagans charges, they don't need any more breaks. So I know that they have a current memorandum of understanding. I do not know what the expiration date of that memorandum is. I know it was signed in 2019, but I think it's just very simple. The residents need to know, because when the Trap Hagans or whoever it is are not paying the full amount that was passed under Resolution 1303, they are putting the burden to pay for these services on the rest of the community. And I noted that Martin even made a comment at one of the meetings that he didn't think that was fair. And I don't know when that was. Here it was back in 2013. Martin, flow charges are not fair to homeowners. And because if you're, and I think that was in defense of passing that resolution. And the thing is I know that we're going to have to eventually do a rate study and come up with a fair way of determining fees. And Martin, you know more about the sewer management plan than anybody else because you put it together, but I looked in it and under chapter, it says under page 89, that this was pulled out of a book apparently. And the book, this was chapter 8 of whatever book it was pulled under water, wastewater systems, is a setting rates for small wastewater utilities. Well, there right there is the guideline for doing our rate study. But I don't think we need to be doing all of that detailed work just to increase these fees. And then the other thing that I that's under here is that in my going through paperwork, I should have made a copy when I saw it. I don't remember where I saw it, but there were other fees involved. And so like I went through and back in 2010, it was noted in the minutes at a meeting about service calls for wastewater service calls. Then again in 2012 at a meeting, there was a note about wastewater service calls. Do we have a fee for service calls? If Martin's called out, do we have a fee for that?
The only fees we've charged for service calls have been for tank inspections when houses were changed.
And then the other thing was...
The fees, the district has not been handling service calls. That's been up to me and now to Howell. And what we charge has nothing to do with the district whatsoever. We're not collecting money for the district or using district materials or anything.
Oh, so that's totally separate then.
That's absolutely separate.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know.
There aren't any service charges for that. In fact, the tank inspections are not paid for by the district.
So that's just in something you do. So you do that independently.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that's fine, because that's what I saw this thing about service charges and all of that. I wasn't sure, well, what permit fees. I noted in one of the resolutions, there's a $100 permit fee.
That's the districts. That's yeah. The permit.
And that and that's something that we need to consider raising, because that $100 permit fee was set so long ago.
Yes.
And that's the thing we need, and that's why I said we need to identify what these charges are.
Now, you did mention flows there, and I think I believe it was 2013. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when it was. I'm not sure. But at one point, the RV park was using an exponential amount of water. The toilets were running all the time, that sort of thing. In fact, we got a notice from Lahontan that we were out of order on the amount of, on the flows going to the ponds, which involved a lot of work. And so I wanted, and I had meters for both sides of the street at that time, and I wanted to charge them on the basis of the meters. And the board was for it, and we set it up, and we had a meeting just to discuss it. And the RV park came in with their lawyer, and we decided at that time we weren't going to proceed with it. We'd leave it alone. So that's how that got in there. And as it turned out, I was totally wrong, because everything went downhill after that.
Yeah.
And their flow rates went down to zero, and we would, and if we'd been committed,
this is good information.
And then that proposition passed too.
We would have been, yeah,
and this is good information, because if the board at that time would have passed something with flow rates, well, we've been in a lot of trouble.
And since that time, it's so apparent now that we're not charging for the amount of water that's moving.
Yeah, because
that is totally insignificant. It's $10,000 to Lahontan, and it's $6,000 to insurance companies, and Donna's fees, and mine, and Hal's.
Exactly.
Those are fixed. We have to have those if we're going to have any system at all.
Absolutely. And this is a bit of information I found out in doing some research, but the national average, monthly average for wastewater services across the country is $190 a month.
That's way.
That's the average.
A month.
So there's higher and then there's lower.
You know, so we added a dollar. You said 2001, something like that?
Yeah.
And it was only until about 3 years ago that we were not accruing money, because we've been doing a lot of volunteer work and servicing our own. This district hasn't had to call anyone in to change a pump out or change contactors in the electrical system or wiring or anything else since I started.
And that's in the LAFCO report. So people need to understand what's...
Or engineering design.
Yeah.
What's, there's some things that have been done.
Yeah, actually, what's coming in the future?
Actually, John Bonneau said, when I talked to him, he said that we have an excellent sewer system here compared to other places.
Yes.
So
even Spalding recognizes that.
Have you heard of anyone complaining about their service here?
No.
And they're just complaining about a $4 increase.
I know, right?
I should say they, because it's
some of the residents really aren't complaining right now.
No. And
I'm not getting any complaints from anybody I'm talking to.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
Now, there's one other...
Well, you're going to get enough just on the commercial side. So.
Yeah, and there's one other concern that actually was raised. Let me see if I can find that. Back in 2014, on August 8th, my granddaughter's birthday. Okay. Of course, she was 2020, but August 8th, 2014, in the minutes, it was brought up about RV dumps at the resort. Mm-hmm. And we were questioning, will they do that? Well, I was walking home the other day, and there it is right on
it's
the
right
sign.
There.
It says RV dumps.
Yep. Yeah.
So we don't have a charge for that. So
they charge.
Yeah.
The park charges.
Yeah.
So
I don't, and I don't know if they really collect anything, but there's a $5 fee.
And it is in the resolution for 1303.
Yeah.
That they name the dump station as one unit.
As a charge.
Yeah.
Okay. So so that was just the thing. I think we need to not just tackle a monthly fee increase, but we need to tackle all these other fees as well.
Well, that's what it did.
And I don't know.
And we have to identify what they are.
If we have a chart.
Well, it does.
Chart of fees or, account. I don't know if we have a fee
chart.
It does.
One of the things I was going to dig on.
The amenities are 6 units.
Well, no, I mean, as far as everything, as new residentials, I mean, what fees are we, I know we charge a permit fee, but what other fees?
Well, there was a hookup fee of $6,000 I found.
And that is still lawfully
yeah. in place that's Did called you know an that? Impact fee. I don't know what California state law has to say about that, but Colorado law has a lot to say about that because there was a case that went to Colorado State Supreme Court. But, and I have the overview of that. That's one of the things that
we have a resolution though that says there's a $6,000 hookup fee.
The $6,000, that's
was that was, from the original?
They didn't make the original payment.
Okay.
And when everyone was bonded.
Okay. So if a property right now has not connected with sewer, then they have
out.
To.
See, that, and that was another one. I don't need to go into it, but they cleared out. Castle Rock was cleared out.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they had these lots that had not paid the initial fee.
Right.
And they settled that all up. And that's one. That's where we got a substantial amount of our money mm-hmm. that went into to that is gaining interest all the time.
Right.
Yeah. So it could be, like I said, let's go back to what we first talked about. Let's make this simple.
I thought I did, and I gave it to Sheriff.
Yeah. Let's just make this simple. Well, no. There, I've seen all these numbers flow. If you maintain the documents that you already have, Resolution 1303, Resolution 1303 is the governing document for wastewater fees. Because it goes back in there and it not only talks about commercial fees, but it reaffirms the residential fees. So all we do is raise the residential fee $4. That means the commercial fee goes up $3 a month, period. Okay? I don't think we need to change anything about the RV park or anything and just keep it simple. Because if we do that, we're coming back in 2022 to do a rate study. And in that rate study, we have the guidelines that Martin has in this sewer system management plan, as well as we have the awareness that we're going to have to deal with, like new hookups, that kind of thing. Going back to like the service fees that I mentioned that Martin says have nothing to do with the district right now because they would call Martin or whatnot. My concern is, well, again, what do they call? Martin's not here. Are they going to have to call a private company? Or is that something that a district should be handling in the future? And all of that stuff should go under a fee rate study in the future. And then resetting the fees according to what our findings are in that rate study.
So, Martin, I have a question. There's some properties down here that have never hooked to the sewer. Would they be charged $6,000 to hook in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was when they originally set up the sold the bonds.
Okay.
Every parcel was subject to it, but it gets rather complex because there was a co-op set up,
mm-hmm.
and the co-op, and to this day, I don't think it was proper, but those people who had invested anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 to $2,000 in the co-op did not have that put on their tax bill.
Okay.
They got a free ride on it because it was $6,000. So they said about $6,000 for the rest of us.
Yeah, because I think part of a rate study addresses the two.
But that was for the hookup. That was to get the system installed,
right.
And it gave everyone the right to connect.
Okay.
Who had paid in, yeah.
So you're saying that there's still properties that have not paid into their $6,000.
Right.
And how do we know who those properties are?
There could be an exception to that. Someone who has never paid up their taxes. However, it eventually comes in because the county, if that property ever sold, mm-hmm. those taxes are clear. And so we could have two or three or four of them sitting out there that have never had the taxes paid on them.
Oh, okay. See,
because it was... That bond was put on, it was a tax assessment.
Okay, so if they didn't pay that, then that's
right.
still sitting there.
Right.
But that tax assessment, Martin, isn't that something that the county would handle?
The county takes care of it.
So they've already taken care of it. If they didn't pay it, the county would.
There could be two or three out there who have never paid it, see?
So then if it gets sold,
they don't own their property, or maybe it's going to go on the county steps next year or something.
Well, yeah, because usually after 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It'll show up.
Exactly.
But that's the cap. That's not us. That's the county's concern. Yeah, that's why I don't want to discuss
that. We never collected that ourselves, and there was always quite a bit of confusion about it because we were collecting a service fee, but we were never collecting the original assessment. It was on the tax roll.
Now, the more we can dump on somebody else, the better. Yeah.
So, well, if they're not connected, we never collected the service fee. I mean, the yearly.
Oh, no, we don't.
Nothing.
They're not paying for wastewater service.
It's just the $6,000 comes into play when they sell or decide to hook up. And that's through the county.
So, but actually,
it gets confusing.
So here's.
That's why I'm worried about losing Martin. Because
I know.
Okay, so one.
And Kate, she knows a lot of stuff too.
So out of our commercial properties, we really need to define our commercial properties. Because we have them all paying different things. But it should be the 75% of the residential rate. And then the addendum further defined the park models as one residential unit, campsite three equivalent to one unit, restaurant bar, 6 units, laundry shower, 2 units, fish station, 1.5, dump station, 1 unit, employee residence, 1 unit, groom cabin as 1 unit, and rec room as 1 unit. So that's all pretty much defined as commercial right now.
A little louder. That's
all. Yeah, I barely hear it. Oh, here's the approved one right here.
I will just put this in front of you.
Yeah, that helps immensely.
Okay. So, Resolution 1303 set the commercial rate at 75% of the residential rate. So that means that Nagel's property and all the properties have a 75% of the residential rate. But there's an addendum to this that says further defined other things on commercial properties. So they define park models as one residential unit, campsites as 3 spaces equals 1 unit, restaurant bar is 6 units, laundry shower is 2 units, fish station 1.5 units, dump station 1 unit, employee resident 1 unit, group cabin 1 unit, and rec room as 1 unit. So that's how the resolution reads right at this time, to define commercial.
I drew up my proposal, and I think I sent it to Rob, and I know Cheryl has a copy of it, and that's where I stand. I don't make the ultimate decision, the board does.
Yeah.
So if you know exactly what I would like to see, and I do have a question for you, Rob.
Sure.
Have you run the figures with what you want to do so that you can tell at May 1st when Trafica says how much do I owe?
Yep.
Because I did have a call from one right commercial person who said, I don't understand this. I had to say at the time, I don't either. But
Well, the thing is that's the issue I have, is this resolution was passed 8 years ago.
That's why I would like to.
Yeah.
When
I don't want to change it until 2022. I want to stick with what is here.
Okay. Well, because when they
passed this, they had already done their analysis.
Mm-hmm.
When the Trapagans and Pirano purchased these properties, they should have done it with the understanding. It's not my job to do their homework for them.
No.
As a business, I'm buying a piece of commercial property right now, and it is not the responsibility of that particular wastewater district or the seller to do my due diligence. It is the responsibility of the property, of potential property owners, and Trapagans and Pirano should understand this ordinance at the time they purchased the property.
Well, I don't think that was.
They didn't have access to it.
Well, no, I think that came into play after they purchased it, because I think the Mariners were paying even more.
They were
before that.
Yes, okay, they were paying more.
Because I have no idea when the Trapagans. What did the Trapagans and the Pirano?
2013.
Yeah. So 2013. That came into play, I think, when they took over.
Yes,
that's fine.
Because the properties
prior to that,
were split.
It was a lot more with
it was.
So number one, my point is, if this came into play at the time or after they took over, and you're saying prior to this it was more, they just got their first break. And then if you follow the daisy chain, the history on this, they can continually get breaks after break after break. Now, Pirano's paying a flat rate because he doesn't have a thing open.
Well, now that's changing now.
I'll have to tell you, if I'm at that meeting, don't expect your general manager to back you up. It's the board that makes the decision.
I'm not out.
And the board that's going to face the
I'm only asking you to back up what is already legally in writing. Because that's your job as a general manager, to enforce what the board has passed. And if you want to make a recommendation to the board as general manager to change something, that's fine. And I'm acceptable. And I'm acceptable to that recommendation. I just don't think what I'm not accepting is the timing. I think it's misplaced. It's something that is for a rate study. That is what you submit at the time that we're doing a rate study, because it's outlined here in this book here. What the general manager should do. It's a general plan of attack about setting, it says right here, the first step in setting water rates is to develop a general plan of attack. That is to say, we is identified as general managers, wastewater managers. We need to outline the specific steps we'll take to reach our goal. Fortunately, many of the resources that we will need to use. So there's an outline already here in this book, and I don't know what the legal requirement of having this plan is. It states in here something coming from the California Water Board, but that's
well,
the thing.
Here's the other thing, is that the district between the three properties we've done MOUs for, that we've lost $40,000 that we've had to use our reserves for over the last 7 years.
$40,000, so... Is the Trapphangans and Pirano going to reimburse the district $40,000 when they sell these properties at the premium that they're asking for? Pirano's asking $1.6 million for his property.
$1.6
million, and he purchased that property, in my understanding, in the $200,000 range margin. They don't need any more breaks. The Trapphangans purchased their property probably about the same amount, and they have it on listed for $700,000. Mm-hmm. They don't need any more breaks. They're asking $3,000 for what, a month for someone to stay here? This is all part of doing business. We are in a business to provide wastewater services.
Season, for the season.
Yeah,
so
we're providing a business, a service for wastewater services. Can the Piranhas, can Trapphangans operate their businesses the way we're operating this district at a loss? No, they cannot. They're going to raise their rates. What were the rates for camping spots here prior to the Trapphangans taking over? They were significantly less than what they're charging now. I can guarantee that.
I would have to look. I have past records, but.
Yeah, I'd like to know that, because I'm going to present that to them. What the Trapphangans or Pirano or anybody, if the Trapphangans are complaining about fee increases, if they're complaining about fee, which they're basically the only ones doing it, they're complaining about fee raises, they need to close down their business. Go out of business.
They've raised theirs.
This is part of doing business. This is a part of being in business. I've been a businessman for over 40 years, and I have to set my rates so that I can afford to pay my bills. And this is, they're getting a bill increase, period. They don't like it. They can sell the place and get out. It's simple as that. If I can't, like, I read these no things, the comments on there, and someone's saying that, well, these are part-time residents. Well, if you're a part-time resident and you can't afford your part-time residence, it's time to sell your residence, especially now at a higher market rate than it was when I bought here 5 years ago. I mean, like I just said, Doralee's place sold for, I think, $280,000. That makes my place worth over $500,000, and I paid $175,000 for it. Somebody want to give me $500,000, I'll move. Because I just made a boatload of money. What is Pirano doing? $1.6 million? He's going to make over $1 million What was his property taxes? What was his cost of holding on to this property for the last 7 years? These things have to be brought into play. They're just being good businessmen. They're picking on us for raising our REITs. Have they showed up at the county supervisors meeting to complain about the assessor's office increasing their property taxes? No. So I'm not going to buy any argument from them. Oh, we're just a poor business owner that can't afford to pay the wastewater fees because we don't have any business in our RV park. I'm not buying that anymore. Pirano should have never been granted a $200 a year fee on his property just because he decided not to open up. That was his choice not to open up his property, not the district's responsibility. We have a responsibility not to the Mr. Pirano exclusively or the Trapezians exclusively. We have a responsibility to over 276 customers because I found that also the other day. It's not 200.
Well, I mean, we have the assessments add up.
It
I
says mean, right here that we have, I'm sorry, we have 256 customers. That's in a document in this office. So either we have,
I have
really
206
bad,
being billed.
Stone well, has 216 billed.
Well, that's rounded off to 260.
No, she said six.
206.
Well, not counting commercial.
Says hookups right here.
So,
as of 2008, the district, 2008, we have 256 hookups. So that means there should be 256 bills going out.
Well, maybe.
So either this
that incorporate wrong, does that incorporate commercial with that 256?
Well, but that, I don't know.
With the hook, because it's a hookup,
we're
right?
Right at 200.
Well, where's this 256?
I don't know, unless they were counting each.
Campsite, park model.
Yeah, that might be. I
oh,
like to know.
That could be in
as a portion of a hookup.
That's why let's keep May 1st real simple. We already have 1303. We go $4 a month. If you want to do anything special other than this, that needs to go under a rate study. I'm sorry. That needs to go under a rate study. And part of the rate study is finding out why in 2008 it says that we have 256 hookups.
I don't know if that included that.
It must
include.
Have included commercial.
When we use the words, I don't know,
I,
we need to find out why.
Well,
I don't know either. And I can only spend so much time in this office looking up documents. And Cheryl's done the same thing. Kay has done the same thing. Somebody needs to know this information. This is important, vital information to conducting a business in this district. We need to know this information. We don't know it. And that's why going beyond anything but a simple rate increase, which we are counting as a temporary increase until we do a rate study, is we shouldn't go beyond that. So I appreciate Martin's input and all of that. But if that input reduces commercial fees, I'm totally against it. Based upon the losses the district has suffered over two individuals that want to sell their properties at a premium. Because I guarantee you, even though I bought my property for $175,000 5 years ago, if I were to sell it at $500,000, that's still not the same amount of increase. I'm not going to make the same amount of money the Trapagans or Pirano is going to make. And we want to talk about fair. I mean, I really understand what somebody's saying on the no vote, that we have part-time residents that hardly use the system, but we don't have meters on all of this. So
well,
you,
and we can't do meters.
Well,
there's a proposition that
the
you
thing
have
is,
to.
If we did everybody based on how long they're here, we wouldn't have this district. We wouldn't be able to afford
no.
it.
Yeah,
no.
the fees are going to go.
I mean,
they're not paying for flow. They're paying to flush their toilet.
Right.
Yeah. Whether they flush
whether
it once a
not,
year or
right.
a thousand times a year.
So that's,
yeah.
you know, and that's what some of the people, and I'm sure they see it in a different way because they've never been to a meeting. They probably have no clue. So, and they're thinking, well, I'm never there, but you're going to charge me more.
Well, I'm going to tell you when
understand.
You do show,
well,
yeah,
but
I'm
if
gonna
you,
tell you when you do show up and you flush your toilet, it right. backs up because the system slows down.
But you know what?
Go, oh,
we're
wow.
But you know
you
what? If you had a house in Susanville, you would still have to pay your utilities.
Right.
Right?
There's a face to
it. Are you awake, poor Tanya?
Sorry, we haven't heard from you. Look at her. She's just sitting there looking beautiful.
Well, who else? We have other people that came in.
Exactly. That's why I've just been sitting here listening, because I've always had that. No matter where you live, you're going to pay for your sewer. You're going to pay for your water. Here's how it is in the city in Goodyear, where Arizona, where I pay utilities. I have a pool down there. They charge me on my sewer for every bit of water that goes into my house. What I take into my house in water, they charge me going out in the sewer. My pool doesn't use the sewer. It evaporates. But I still get paid. I still get charged per gallon that comes in from the city water. They charge me sewer going out. Is it fair? It's not really fair. It's the way it is. Always been that way. It's in their resolution. It's in their civil code. So every district that I checked early into last summer, whether it was Lake Forest or Levitt Lake, they're all paying fee, whether they're there at the house or not. When I manage properties could be completely shut down for 6 months, nobody there, the same fee for sewer and water. And then water, you know, is a usage thing too, but that doesn't, we don't have that in play up here. But yeah, the sewer bills never go away, no matter what. And if they don't get paid down here in Susanville, they come in and take out your connection, and you have to pay a contractor to put it back in. And there was a lot of that during the foreclosure and short sale. And it was up to buyer and their realtor to go to the sewer district and see what was owed. Because if you didn't get that bill into escrow, it was unknown, then a buyer was getting that after the fact, and that wasn't fair to them. So sewer department down here started really working closely with escrow and the realtor association, so we could have a list of houses as to whose connections had been removed, so that buyers wouldn't have to absorb that. So yeah, the bills don't go away. It's just if they don't get paid, they go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, the point is that in 2013, or even prior to that, when they started setting rates for commercial and residential, they had a method to their madness. If we go beyond the scope of just raising this across the board temporarily for 1 year, one lousy year, until we can actually do a detailed rate study, because that's all everybody has to understand. Because it could be that we do a rate study, and that rate study indicates that commercial is paying too much. But when you look at what was passed in 2013, and what has actually been charged to commercial properties since then, and if Cheryl's numbers are correct, there's a $40,000 deficit. Hey, you got a break. I wish the federal government could say to me, oh, well, I'm sorry, your business is not doing so good this year, Mr. Larrabee. We're going to give you a break on your taxes. They're not going to do that. I don't have any memorandum of understanding with any government agency in which I have to pay taxes to. That lowers my taxes.
And actually, just for clarification, it was three of us that worked on the numbers.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just saying it's so simple.
It really simple when I was able to review this. The resolution from what we have 99, 2001, 2021, 2013, that really clarified it. And I think that with our, as far as this discussion, action item number one here, I agree with Robert and whether we just go with the 2013 for the public meeting May 1st, because it's already there. The resolution's there.
Yeah.
And that's what's been there.
Yeah, because you don't need to write a new resolution. You just make an addendum because of the rate increase. And it's with the understanding where, you know, we've already told the public we're going to do a rate study in 2022. This is a temporary increase. It could be after the rate study, it drops from $20 a month. we are operating in the red. We are taking money out of our
reserves
to cover people's bills. That's not fair. That's not fair to the district, and that's not fair to the voting members of the district, and it's not fair to the customers of the district. So it is what it is. If they don't like what it is, then they can put their 2 cents in. That's what their public hearing is for. But Proposition 218 states that in the public hearing, at that time, the board has to listen to everybody's input, and the board has to make a determination as to whether or not the amount of input at that public hearing represents a majority. Now, the question is, I have to go back and look at it, is the majority of the voting members of the district, or is it a majority of the customers?
It's the majority of the customers for the
so
fees.
Then we have to, that's why I said.
For the fire assessment, it would be different.
256 hookups, according to some documentation in 2008. Martin's telling us 50 less than that. So we need to know, because if we're going to say 100 over 100 people are okay with the increase, and it's actually less than half of 256. And that's why I said we have to have our ducks in order here. And this has to be understood amongst the public that this current board is doing the best it can to work with deficiencies of past boards, because this information is not organized. Donna wasn't here. I wasn't here. Cheryl's only been here. The longest person that's been here is Martin. So, I mean, that's what I said. Who's responsible for understanding what this information is and keeping it organized for future boards?
Okay, so shall we conclude our discussion and go on to number two?
Yeah, well,
we need to do an action?
I think we've discussed part of it, but I think we've talked about identifying the resource, revenue resources such as permit fees, that kind of thing. So we need to further discuss that later on. But then also, I think are we in agreement? Are we in agreement about what our narrative is then? Mm-hmm. That we're just going to, we just want to make this a simple increase that's going to last for a year. Until we get a good rate study done. And once the rate study's done, the fees could go down or they could go up, because we have to do a rate study.
I have a question. The way you're looking at it, are you going to charge, for example, Dante for every campsite that he has, or will it have anything to do with what
Martin,
they're using?
It's
Martin,
the resolution.
You can answer that question. Martin, you can answer that question best yourself. Because you were around when this was passed.
Okay, well, I thought I did.
It says three spaces are equivalent to one unit from resolution 1303 is what it says.
Well, actually it's 2.9, and then there was an addendum to that that changed it from 2.9 to 3.
Right.
So, and whatever it is. See, that's another break that was given. See, there, I keep looking at the history of this, and there's these continual breaks being given to these commercial properties, but I see no breaks being given to any residents, especially those that are here part-time or on fixed incomes or can't come here anymore because they can't afford the gas to get here. You see what I'm saying? We are treating everybody unfairly by giving breaks to some people and not breaks to other people.
Well, let me go back to the original question. So we've got commercial properties here. And they're going to ask you, or they may ask you, are you going to charge me for every site out there that was used at one time, even though
my comment is
4 or 5.
So my comment is you've owned those properties longer than I've been here. And this was passed in 2013. If you own those properties since 2013, you already know what the charges are, period. I don't need to explain anything or answer anything. The answer is already in black and white, and it's 8 years old. It's 8 years and 1 month old. Because this is from March 2013. I think I did the math.
Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, I think we're done with that.
Let's go on to number two.
So what am I doing? What's my...
It's not really you. We're on the new business number two.
Okay.
We were on number one.
Okay, and so
we just discussed it. No, we just discussed.
Oh, so there's no discussion. It's just, I mean, there's no...
No action, just no, discussion. Just
yeah. No action taken, so...
Okay.
No action taken. Okay, number two. Because we're separating out the secretary bookkeeping position, we have to look at our bylaws to put something in there in our job description for secretary.
Right.
So that we can separate that out and make it clear in our bylaws.
And I know you gave me something, and that was another area I had troubles.
Well, you couldn't access it.
And accessing today, so I wasn't able to get anything printed.
That's okay.
So I have a question for you, Donna. We talked about on the phone that I found something in this wastewater book about the secretary's duties, but then I found something over there.
I never had a chance to look at something different.
And then I'm just going
by the bylaws.
Yeah, and then there was something else that I found that was a procedure, secretary procedures.
I don't know if there's separate.
That's in the book I put together?
No, that's something different. In the book was a list of 31 things that the secretary is supposed to do.
Well, I'm sure I do that and more.
Can we add 32? Maybe should we round up 35, drop it down to 30?
We want to make it summary, but we want to have something in there saying that the position can be encompassed both secretary bookkeeping, or it can be separated out. The bookkeeper will do this.
In the bylaws, I can. You had something that you want that you wrote.
I did.
For each category. I mean, I can separate them out in the bylaws and have you guys look at it for the next meeting.
Yeah, because here's secretary's duties. Weren't that these, when they have you put this in the book, is that some kind of legal requirement or something?
I don't know.
We just told them to do
this
it.
This one has 33.
33 duties?
33, yeah.
Did they put janitorial in there too?
I don't know.
No, that is, I didn't do that.
Did you guys need a janitor?
Well, it's in one of the minutes. It has your name on it. The book that Martin presented. This one that I have right here is one that began, that seemed to be being modified a few years ago.
Oh.
In 2018, this one right here is from 2011.
So, Donna, could we table that so you can look at it and see if there's anything particular that you think should be taken out and moved to bookkeeping so that we can change those bylaws and make them
more
accurate?
And I'll go back and see what I can find about that secretary.
Yeah, I mean, if you can give me what you might have available.
I was getting ahead.
Because I didn't see.
I made a note. Now let's just sewers.
Okay, so we'll table that one.
Okay, so
we'll go to number. No, we're just. Oh, let's make a motion to table it.
I make a motion to table discussion action number two, review of current secretary bookkeeping and bylaw section.
Second
by 9C.
Tanya. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number three. I kind of went over in what I talked about what I talked to John about. For the discussion of the draft report. Basically, it is a draft right now, so it's still a draft. They will do changes, send stuff back to us, and they're supposed to change the meeting time so that we can actually be in attendance instead of having it when we have our meetings.
I'd like to go through the, I did receive it on the computer.
Right, that's what.
I'd like to go through the hard copy and make a few notes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
what I would do is just make a motion right now to have our general manager, if our secretary, if she cares to, even though she's leaving at the end of the month, but every board member go through there and make notations and give those to our chairwoman to present to
LAFCO.
The LAFCO committee for changes and corrections.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and the last one is, since we have COVID and we can't hear well, and it's hard with Zoom to hear because we were having to walk over to the computer and talk and stuff. So I did buy some microphones and the speakers I'm donating, but I bought some microphones to kind of try it out and see if it was working and people could hear us better. And it made more sense and if we wanted to keep them or not.
I like it. Works much better, and thank you.
And Tanya, you were part of it when we were having trouble, so. So then,
I'm just kidding.
Basically, with the extra wires that I got, because we tried to make them longer so they could reach, it's about $128.24 for all of it.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
For reimbursement for $120.
I don't know. I'm questioning
the speakers I gave.
I there's probably other speakers out there, but you know,
if not, I will return them.
I mean, is this
the cheapest? No, it was the cheapest one. But it also is supposed to work, pick up surround sound instead of having to go right over to the mic.
So I don't know where Martin is sitting, but I can hear him loud and clear.
He is sitting way over there across from the mic from me.
Yeah, he's about 10 feet from the mic. He's social distancing from the mic.
Okay. So I think that they work really good for $128. So I'll make a motion that we reimburse Cheryl for that.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We will adjourn at 5:35 p.m. Could I have a motion to adjourn? I need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn at 5:35 before it hits 5:36.
I second.
Okay. We are adjourned at 5:35 and we sign bills. Our next meeting is the public hearing on May 1st.
Okay.
We have two because of COVID so that we can fit everyone where they need to go.
That will probably be in the fire hall.
Yeah, in the fire hall. And then the next board meeting is May 10th at 4 p.m. Okay, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks. Do you want to get us off down there first?
Oh, we didn't get a public comment.
Wait.
We didn't know.
Okay. Did they chat?
I don't know. Ah.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
Did they leave?
Yeah.
I saw their face.